This program shows the current state of the debate on what is known as net neutrality and the discussion points at an EU level based on the corresponding opinion of the European Data Protection Supervisor. Net neutrality refers to the issue of whether internet service providers, ISPs, should be allowed to monitor network traffic to filter or restrict internet access, for example, to block specific services or applications, for example, peer-to-peer, or give preference access to others. The supervisor is an independent supervisory authority devoted to protecting personal data and privacy and promoting good practice in the EU institutions and bodies. It does so by monitoring the EU administration's processing of personal data, advising on policies and legislation that affect privacy, and cooperating with similar authorities to ensure consistent data protection. Peter Hustings and Giovanni Buttarelli are members of the institution. They have been appointed European Data Protection Supervisor and Assistant Supervisor by a joint decision of the European Parliament and the Council. Assigned for a 5-year term, they took office in January 2009. The supervisor is not competent for issues on a national level and, therefore, has no supervisory powers for the processing of personal data by national authorities or private entities. This program shows the view of the Office of the Supervisor, that is to say, the analysis and conclusions on net neutrality of the European institution in charge of data and privacy protection, and that represents today the highest institutional protection threshold. According to La Quadrature du Net, a European advocacy group that promotes the rights and freedoms of citizens on the Internet, the supervisor's opinion on net neutrality is a groundbreaking opinion. He stresses that restrictions to internet access inevitably harm privacy, as the European Parliament enters in the final stage of the negotiations on its resolution on net neutrality. This opinion underlines that the EU Commission's wait-and-see approach is bound to fail and is unjustifiable. Members of the EU Parliament, who will soon hold a crucial vote on the matter, must preserve citizens' privacy by requiring strong regulatory measures to ban discrimination of online communications. In fact, the so-called Industry Committee of the European Parliament unanimously adopted a resolution last October 20th demanding that the European Commission promptly assess the need for further legislative action. According to La Quadrature du Net, pressure now increases on EU Commissioner Neelie Kroes, who may soon be forced to break away with her failed wait-and-see approach and take action. Such approach amounts to letting operators restrict internet access to pursue short-term economic goals. The citizen advocacy group considers that the resolution passed by the Industry Committee is overall a positive text. It commits the EU Parliament to key issues. The text is a strong political statement in favor of net neutrality. It brings a useful definition of net neutrality and of the network management policies that are detrimental to the users' freedoms and to competition. The resolution asks the Commission to move past its failed wait-and-see approach by assessing the need for further regulation on net neutrality within 6 months of EU telecom regulators gathered in what is called BEREC, releasing their study on the discriminatory practices of ISPs. However, the resolution falls short of asking for immediate legislative action to protect net neutrality and for sanctions against internet service providers who restrict access to the internet. It also includes a loophole which risks being interpreted as accepting such restrictions on mobile internet on the pretext of alleged network congestion. Jeremy Zimmermann, spokesperson for La Quadrature du Net, said that while rather weak, the adopted resolution is a political commitment from the European Parliament in favor of net neutrality and aims to prevent telecom operators from restricting internet access. Pressure is increasing on Commissioner Neelie Kroes and the EU telecom regulators to come up with further legislation. Mrs. Kroes must break away from her wait-and-see approach and take action to effectively protect competition, innovation, as well as citizens' freedom of expression and privacy online. The draft guidelines of net neutrality and transparency proposed by the body of European regulators for electronic communications in October 2011 have actually nothing to do with net neutrality, according to privacy groups, and instead readily accept that telecom operators can restrict access to the internet as long as users are informed. They only prove that mere transparency and competition will not prevent operators from violating net neutrality. The text adopted in the Committee on Industry, Research and Energy vote will now move to be adopted in plenary without the possibility of further amendments in a vote scheduled for late November 2011.
On October 7th, 2011, the European Data Protection Supervisor, Peter Hustings, released an opinion on the European Commission communication on the Open Internet and Net Neutrality in Europe, a communication that had been adopted by the Commission on April 19, 2011. In his press release, the Data Protection Supervisor says that this is a subject that has triggered great interest and controversy over recent months. Net neutrality refers to the issue of whether Internet Service Providers, ISPs, should be allowed to monitor network traffic, to filter or restrict Internet access. For example, to block specific services or applications, for example peer-to-peer, or give preference access to others. The European Data Protection Supervisor highlights the serious implications of these practices on the fundamental right to privacy and data protection of users, in particular in terms of confidentiality of communications. Certain inspection techniques used by ISPs may indeed be highly privacy intrusive, especially when they reveal the content of individuals' internet communications, including emails sent or received, websites visited, and files downloaded. It is therefore crucial that compliance with data protection rules be closely monitored. Peter Hustings, supervisor, says, "The concept of net neutrality builds on the view that information on the internet should be transmitted impartially, without regard to content, destination, or source. By looking into users' internet communications, ISPs may breach the existing rules on the confidentiality of communications, which is a fundamental right that must be carefully preserved. A serious policy debate on net neutrality must make sure that the user's confidentiality of communications is effectively protected." The Data Protection Supervisor stresses that more should be done to come to a satisfactory policy on the way forward. He therefore calls on the Commission to initiate a debate involving all the relevant stakeholders with a view to clarifying how the data protection legal framework applies in this context. He recommends guidance to be provided in areas such as determining inspection practices that are legitimate, such as those needed to ensure the smooth flow of traffic or carried out for security purposes, determining when monitoring requires the user's consent, for instance in cases where filtering aims to limit access to certain application and services, such as peer-to-peer. In such cases, guidance may be needed regarding the application of the necessary data protection safeguards, purpose, limitation, security, etc. Depending on these findings, additional legislative measures may prove necessary. In the event of this, the Commission should put forward policy measures aimed at strengthening data protection rules and ensuring legal certainty. New measures should clarify the practical consequences of the net neutrality principle and guarantee users the possibility to exercise a real choice, notably by requiring ISPs to offer non-monitored connections.
In his opinion on net neutrality, traffic management, and the protection of privacy and personal data, the European Data Protection Supervisor states, "Filtering, blocking, and inspecting network traffic raises important questions, often overlooked or sidelined, regarding the confidentiality of communications and the respect for the privacy of individuals and their personal data when they use the internet. For instance, certain inspection techniques involve the monitoring of content of communications, websites visited, emails sent and received, the time when this takes place, etc., enabling filtering of communications. By inspecting communications data, ISPs, may breach the confidentiality of communications, which is a fundamental right guaranteed by Article 8 of the European Convention for the Protection of Human Rights and Fundamental Freedoms, and Article 7 and 8 of the Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union. Confidentiality is further protected in secondary EU legislation, namely Article 5 of the e-Privacy Directive. The supervisor considers that a serious policy debate on net neutrality must address the confidentiality of communications, as well as other privacy and data protection implications. The following are the most relevant excerpts of the European Data Protection Supervisor's opinion. The goal of this opinion is threefold, according to the supervisor. It flags the relevance of privacy and data protection in the current discussions on net neutrality. More particularly, it highlights the need to respect the existing rules on confidentiality of communications. Only practices that respect such rules should be allowed. Net neutrality relates to relatively new technological possibilities, and there's little experience on how the legal framework applies. This opinion, therefore, provides guidance on how ISPs must apply and respect the data protection legal framework if they engage in filtering, blocking, and inspecting network traffic. This should be helpful for ISPs and also for authorities in charge of enforcing the framework. Within the scope of data protection and privacy, the supervisor's opinion identifies areas which call for special attention and which may require action at EU level. This is particularly important in the light of the ongoing debate at EU level and the policy measures that may be launched by the Commission in this context. Which are the implications for data protection and privacy when ISPs engage in traffic management? The supervisor explains that when ISPs process traffic data with the sole purpose of routing the information flow from the sender to the receiver, they generally carry out limited personal data processing. In the same way as the Postal Service processes the information included on the envelope of a letter, the ISP processes the information needed to route the communication towards the recipient. This does not conflict with the legal requirements of data protection, privacy, and confidentiality of communications. However, when ISPs inspect communication data in order to differentiate each communication flow and to apply specific policies which may be unfavorable to individuals, the implications are more significant. Depending on the circumstances of each case, and on the type of analysis performed, the processing may be highly intrusive for an individual's privacy and personal data. This is more obvious where management policies reveal the content of individuals' internet communications, including emails sent and received, websites visited, files downloaded or uploaded, etc. Until 2009, EU legislative instruments did not contain provisions explicitly prohibiting ISPs from engaging in filtering or blocking or charging extra costs to subscribers for access to services. At the same time, they did not contain provisions explicitly recognizing this practice. The situation was, to some extent, one of uncertainty. The 2009 telecom package changed this by including provisions favoring the openness of the Internet. For example, Article 8.4 on a common regulatory framework for electronic communications networks and services framework directive establishes an obligation on regulatory authorities to promote the ability of end users to access content, applications or services of their choice. This provision applies to the network as a whole, not at the level of individual providers. The Universal Service Directive contains more concrete obligations. Articles 20 and 21 set forth transparency requirements regarding limitations on access to and or use of services and applications. It also requires minimum service quality levels. For ISP practices entailing the inspection of individuals' communications, Recital 28 of the Directive amending the Universal Service and e-Privacy Directives highlights that depending on the technology used and the type of limitation, such limitation may require user consent under the e-Privacy Directive. Thus, Recital 28 recalls the need for consent pursuant to Article 5.1 of the e-Privacy Directive for any limitations based on monitoring of communications. According to the supervisor, the above means that at the EU level, there is a broad aspiration to an open internet. However, this policy objective, which applies to the network as a whole, is not directly linked to prohibitions or obligations on individual ISPs. In other words, an ISP could engage in traffic management policies, which may exclude access to certain applications, provided that end users are fully informed and have expressed their consent freely, specifically, and unambiguously. In its communication on net neutrality, the European Commission concluded that the situation on net neutrality is one that requires monitoring and further analysis. Its policy has been dubbed as wait and see before considering further regulatory steps. The question to be assessed from a data protection and privacy perspective is whether a wait and see policy is sufficient. While the data protection and privacy framework does, at the present time, foresee some safeguards, especially through the principle of confidentiality of communications, it appears necessary to monitor closely the level of compliance and issue guidance on several aspects that are not particularly clear. In addition, some thoughts should be put forward as to how the framework could be clarified and further improved in the light of technological developments.
Before going more deeply into the subject, it is important to have a better view of the inspection techniques that may be used by ISPs to engage in traffic management and how this may impact the principle of net neutrality. The privacy and data protection implications derived from such techniques vary substantially depending on which technique, or techniques, is or are used. This technical background is indispensable for understanding the legal reasoning. When a user transmits a communication via internet, the information transmitted is divided into packets. These packets are transmitted across the internet from the sender to the recipient. Each packet will include, among others, information about the source and the destination. In addition, ISPs might enclose these packets into additional layers and protocols, which will be used to manage the different traffic flows within the ISP network. To refer back to the analogy of the postal letter, using a network transmission protocol is equivalent to including the content of a postal letter into an envelope, with a destination address to be read by the postal service and then having the postal service deliver it. The postal service may use additional protocols in its internal transits to manage all the envelopes to be transmitted, the goal being that each envelope reaches its destination as originally drafted by the sender. Using this analogy, each packet has two parts: the IP payload that includes the content of the communication and will be equivalent to the letter. It contains information addressed only to the recipient. The second part of the packet is the IP header that includes, among others, the address of the recipient and the sender, and will be the equivalent to the envelope. The IP header allows the ISPs and other intermediaries to route the payload from its source address to its destination address. ISPs and other intermediaries ensure that IP packets travel across the network through nodes which read the IP header information, check it first in routing tables, and then forward them towards the next node in the path to the destination. This process is done across the network using a best effort memoryless approach, since all the packets arriving to a node are treated in a neutral way. When they have been forwarded to the next node, there is no need to retain further information in the router. As illustrated, ISPs read IP headers for the purpose of routing them towards their destination. However, the analysis of traffic involving IP headers and IP payloads can be performed for other purposes and with different types of technologies. New trends may include, for instance, slowing down certain applications being used by users, such as P2P, or alternatively, enhancing traffic speed for certain services, like video-on-demand services for premium subscribers. While all inspection techniques technically perform packet inspection, they involve different levels of intrusiveness. There are two main categories of inspection techniques. One is based on just the IP header, the other also on the IP payload. Regarding those based on the IP header information, the inspection of an IP packet header reveals some fields that may allow ISPs to apply a number of specific policies to manage the traffic. These techniques, based only on inspection of IP headers processed data, which, in principle, is meant for routing information for a different purpose, for example, differentiating traffic. Looking at the source IP address, the ISP can link it to a concrete subscriber and apply some specific policies, for instance, routing the packet through a faster or a slower link. Looking at the destination IP address, the ISP can also apply specific policies, for instance, blocking or filtering access to certain websites. As for those techniques, based on a deeper inspection, deep packet inspection enables the ISP to access information addressed only to the recipient of the communication. Going back to the Postal Service example, this approach is equivalent to opening the envelope and reading the letter inside to perform an analysis of the content of the communication, encapsulated inside the IP packets, in order to apply a specific network policy. There are different ways of carrying out the inspection, each presenting different threats to the data subject. There is what is called deep packet inspection based on the analysis of protocols and unstatistical records. In this case, in addition to the IP protocol, which is meant to enable the data to be transmitted across the internet, there are additional protocols that code the information being transmitted in an agreed way, transport session, presentation, and application, etc. The goal of these protocols is to ensure that the parties involved in the communication can understand each other. For instance, there are some protocols that are associated with web browsing, others for file transfer, etc. Therefore, inspection techniques based on the inspection of protocols and combined with statistic analysis aim at looking for specific patterns or fingerprints that determine which protocols are present. These inspection techniques enable the ISPs to understand the type of communication, email, web browsing, uploading files, and, in some cases, to identify the specific service or application used, such as the case of some VoIP, voice over IP, communications, where the protocols used are very specific to a concrete vendor or service provider. The knowledge of the type of communication by itself can allow ISPs to apply concrete traffic management policies, for example, to block web traffic. It may also be the first step in allowing the ISP to perform further analyses that might require full access to the metadata and content of the communication. There is also deep packet inspection based on the analysis of the content of the communication. It is also possible to inspect the metadata and the content of a communication itself. This technique consists in the interception of all the IP packets that are part of the original communication flow, so that the original content of the communication can be reconstructed in full and analysed. For example, to detect harmful or illegal content like viruses, child pornography, etc., it is necessary to reconstruct the content itself so that it can be analysed. It is to be noted that sometimes the communication can be explicitly encrypted end-to-end by the parties involved, and this practice will impede ISPs to perform analysis of the content of the communication. Inspection techniques based on IP headers, and more particularly those based on packet inspection, involve the monitoring and filtering of these data and have serious implications in terms of privacy and data protection. They can also be in conflict with the right to confidentiality of communications. Looking into individuals' communications has, in itself, serious privacy and data protection implications. Yet, the problem is broader since, depending on the efforts pursued with the monitoring and interception, the privacy implications may further increase. Indeed, it is not the same to merely inspect communications, for example, to ensure that the system works well, and to inspect communications to apply policies which may have an impact on individuals. When traffic and selection policies may seek to avoid network congestion only, there will usually be no major implications for the individual's privacy. However, traffic management policies may seek to block some content information or influence the communication, for instance, through behavioural advertising. In those cases, the effects are more intrusive. The concern becomes more critical if one realises that this type of information would be collected not for a small group of individuals, but rather on a generalised basis for all ISP customers. If all ISPs embrace filtering techniques, this could lead to a generalised monitoring of internet usage. Furthermore, if one focuses on the type of information being processed, the risks to privacy are obviously high, as much as the information being collected is likely to be very sensitive and, after collection, is available to ISPs and to those who would seek information from them. Furthermore, the information might also be very valuable in commercial terms. In itself, this represents a high risk of function creep, where the initial purposes could easily evolve into commercial or other exploitation of the information collected. The correct application of monitoring and inspection and filtering techniques must be done in conformity with the applicable data protection and privacy safeguards, which lay down limits as what can be done and under which circumstances.
The EU Data Protection Framework is technologically neutral. As such, it does not regulate specific inspection techniques as those described. The e-Privacy Directive regulates privacy in the provision of electronic communication services in public networks, typically internet access and telephony, and the Data Protection Directive regulates data processing in general. Taken as a whole, this legal framework sets out different obligations that apply to ISPs that process and monitor traffic and communications data. In this case, the type of personal data that are processed by ISPs refers to the traffic data and content of communications. The content of communications and the traffic data are both protected by the right to confidentiality of correspondence, which is guaranteed by Article 8 of the European Convention for the Protection of Human Rights and Fundamental Freedoms, and Article 7 and 8 of the Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union. More particularly, Article 5.1 of the e-Privacy Directive, entitled Confidentiality of Communications, requires member states to ensure the confidentiality of communications and the related traffic data by means of a public communications network and publicly available electronic communications services. At the same time, Article 5.1 of the e-Privacy Directive foresees that the processing of traffic and content data by ISPs may be allowed, in certain circumstances, with the consent of the users. This is done by setting forth a prohibition for the listening, tapping, storage, or other kinds of interception or surveillance of communications and the related traffic data by persons other than users, without the consent of the users concerned, except when legally authorized to do so in accordance with Article 15.1. In addition to the consent of users concerned, the e-Privacy Directive foresees other grounds that may legitimize ISPs' processing of traffic and communication data. The relevant legal grounds for processing in this case are delivering the service, safeguarding the security of the service. In practice, this means that ISPs may engage in monitoring and filtering of communications data to fight viruses and overall ensure the security of the network. And minimizing congestion. If there is a congestion, the question arises whether ISPs may consider randomly dropping or delaying traffic, or rather slowing communications that are not time-sensitive. Example, P2P or email traffic, enabling, for example, voice traffic to pass at acceptable quality. Given the overall societal interest of guaranteeing a usable communications network, ISPs may argue that prioritizing or throttling traffic to address congestion is a legitimate measure which is necessary to deliver an adequate service. This means that in these cases, and for this purpose, there would be a general legal ground for processing personal data, and specific consent by users would not be necessary. If ISPs need to inspect communications from the perspective of confidentiality and applying strictly the proportionality principle, they must use the least intrusive method available to achieve the purpose, avoiding deep packet inspection, and they must only apply it for as long as necessary to resolve the congestion. ISPs may also want to inspect traffic and content data for other purposes, for example, offering targeted subscriptions. The legal framework is mainly Article 5.1 of the e-Privacy Directive, which requires consent from users concerned to listen, tap, store, or engage in other kinds of interception or surveillance of communications and the related traffic data. In practice, this means that consent of users involved in a communication is necessary to legitimize the processing of both traffic and communications data. In practice, it may not always be easy to ascertain, for example, in which cases consent is necessary, and in which cases the security of the network may legitimize the processing, particularly if the purposes of the inspection techniques are twofold, for instance, avoiding congestion and providing added value services. It should be emphasized that consent cannot be considered as an easy and systemic gateway to compliance with data protection principles. There is little experience on the application of the framework, and more particularly on the various aspects that have been outlined.
ISPs requiring consent to engage in inspection and filtering of traffic and content data must therefore ensure the consent is free and is specified, and it must be a fully informed indication of the individual's wishes by which he signifies his agreement to the personal data relating to him being processed. Consent must be obtained from all users involved in a communication. The rationale behind this is that a communication usually concerns at least two individuals, the sender and the recipient. For example, if an ISP scans IP payloads, which refer to an email, they are inspecting information that relates to both the sender and the receiver of the email. When monitoring and intercepting traffic and communications, for example some web traffic, it may suffice for ISPs to obtain the consent of the user, that is, the subscriber. This is because the other party to the communication, in this case a website visited, may not be considered as a user concerned. However, the situation may be more complex when such monitoring involves inspecting the contents of emails and thus personal information of the email sender and recipient, who may not both have a contractual relationship with, say, an ISP. Indeed, in these cases, the ISP would be processing personal data, name, email address, and potentially sensitive content data of non-customers. From a practical perspective, obtaining consent from such individuals may be more difficult, as it should be done on a case-by-case basis, rather than at the occasion of the conclusion of the telecommunications service. Nor would it be realistic to assume that the subscriber's consent was also given on behalf of other users, as may often be the case in private households. In this context, the supervisor considers that the ISPs should abide by existing legal requirements and implement policies which do not involve the monitoring and inspection of information. This is all the more essential with regard to communication services, which involve third parties who are not able to consent to the monitoring, particularly with regard to emails sent and received. This does not apply when the purpose is based on security considerations. Article 6C of the Data Protection Directive lays down the proportionality principle, which applies to ISPs, as they are data controllers in the meaning of this directive when they engage in monitoring and filtering. Pursuant to that principle, personal data may be processed only insofar as they are adequate, relevant, and not excessive in relation to the purposes for which they are collected and/or further processed. The application of this principle entails the need to make an assessment as to whether the means employed for the data processing and the types of personal data used are suitable and reasonably likely to achieve their objectives. If the conclusion is that more data is collected than necessary, then the principle is not met. Surveillance of communications of ISP customers at the deepest possible levels will in most of the cases be excessive and illegal. The fact that this may be done by means that are not apparent to individuals, and that it may be difficult for them to understand what is happening, increases the impact on their privacy. ISPs should assess which less intrusive means may be available to achieve the result required. It is important to recall that the proportionality principle continues to apply even if other mandatory legal requirements have been satisfied, including if an ISP has, for example, obtained consent from individuals to engage in content monitoring. This means that the data processing carried out through the content monitoring may still be illegal if it violates the underlying fundamental principle of proportionality. Regarding security and organizational measures, Article 4 of the e-privacy directive explicitly requires ISPs to take technical and organizational measures to ensure that personal data is only accessed by authorized personnel and for lawful purposes. Protection of personal data from accidental or unlawful processing, and implementation of a security policy with respect to the processing of personal data. It also enables national competent authorities to perform audits on these measures. It should be ensured that effective notification procedures are put in place to inform data subjects whose information has been compromised and who may thus be affected negatively. With regards to policies to be adopted and legislative measures, the data protection supervisor says in his opinion that inspection techniques based on traffic data and inspection of IP payloads, like the content of communications, may reveal users' internet activity, websites visited, and activities on those sites, use of P2P applications, files downloaded, emails sent and received, from whom, on what subject and which terms, etc. ISPs may want to use this information to prioritize some communications, such as video on demand, over others. They may want to use it to identify viruses or to build profiles in order to serve behavioral advertising. These actions interfere with the right to the confidentiality of communications. Depending on the techniques used and on the specifics of the case, the privacy implications will increase. The deeper the interception and analysis of the information collected, the greater the conflict with the principle of confidentiality of communications. In principle, the supervisor considers that the existing EU privacy and data protection framework, if properly interpreted, applied and enforced, would be appropriate to guarantee that the right to confidentiality is upheld, and that overall the protection of the privacy and data protection of individuals is not jeopardised. This is without prejudice to the need for other changes in the law based on other considerations, particularly in the context of the general review of the EU legal framework for data protection, with a view to making it more effective in the light of new technologies and globalisation. ISPs should not use such mechanisms unless they have properly applied the legal framework. The European Data Protection Supervisor concludes that ISPs' increasing reliance on monitoring and inspection technique impinges on the neutrality of the internet and the confidentiality of communications. This raised serious issues relating to the protection of users' privacy and personal data. While the Commission's communication on the open internet and net neutrality in Europe briefly touches on these issues, the supervisor feels that more should be done in order to come to a satisfactory policy on the way forward. In this opinion, he has therefore contributed to the ongoing policy debate on net neutrality, particularly on aspects related to data protection and privacy. The supervisor considers that there is a need for national authorities and BEREC, the body of European regulators for electronic communications, to monitor the market situation. This monitoring should result in a clear picture describing whether the market is evolving towards massive real-time inspection of communications and issues related to complying with the legal framework. Monitoring of the market should not go without further analysis of the effects of new practices in relation to data protection and privacy on the internet. While EU agencies and bodies may be in a good position to clarify the conditions of application of the framework, the supervisor considers that the Commission has a duty to coordinate and steer the debate. Therefore, he calls upon the Commission to take an initiative involving all those stakeholders in a platform or a working group with this goal. Among the issues needing further analysis, the following points should be addressed: determining the inspection practices that are legitimate to ensure the smooth flow of traffic and which can be carried out for security purposes; determining when monitoring requires individuals' consent, notably the consent of all the users concerned, and the permissible technical parameters to ensure the inspection technique does not entail processing of data that is not proportionate vis-à-vis its intended purpose. In the cases above, guidance may be needed regarding the application of all necessary data protection safeguards. Depending on these findings, additional legislative measures may be necessary. In such a case, the Commission should put forward policy measures aiming at strengthening the legal framework and ensuring legal certainty. New measures should clarify the practical consequences of the net neutrality principle, as this has already been done in some member states, and ensure that users can exercise a real choice, notably by forcing ISPs to offer non-monitored connections. This information has been provided by the official website of the European Data Protection Supervisor and by the citizens' right group, La Quadrature du Net. For background information on the issue of right to privacy within the European Union, you can listen to the related Radio Nishko audio documents, available on our webpage dedicated to human rights and civil liberties in the European Union. This programme has been produced by Radio Nishko at our studios in Belgium on November 2, 2011.